It's time for us to get love right, folks. And so we invite you to check out the King and Queen of Hearts.
This is an incredible training for couples who are struggling in unsatisfying sex lives.
It's also for lifelong learners, people whose relationship is great and they want to make it even better.
In this three-part training that is filled with 8 different tutorials like the art of tantric kissing, eye gazing that is deep and intimate, connective and not creepy, and sacred sexual meditations, you do them with your lover to juice you up before sex. Communication tips and really, really valuable relationship essentials are all found in this training.
You know, a common mistake couples make is they wait, they put it off, they avoid, they resist. And if you want to continue doing that, well, good luck. But if you really want to make a change, get this today. Don't let another month go by where you're losing precious connection with your partner.
Plus, you can't beat the price on this program. One of our clients, Casey, said a spark in their intimacy is back on track.
Now, Sarah and her husband, you know what she told us, Willow? She said, finally, he learned how to kiss her right.
Oh my God, hallelujah. So happy for Sarah.
So if you want some radical changes in your love life, go to sexreimagined.com, click on courses, and scroll until you find the King and Queen of Hearts. And because you are a fan of the podcast, you can use the King and Queen 10 code in order to get 10% off. That is King and Queen 10, and you can use it in the checkout.
All right, if you are ready to open your heart and your mind and your yoni and your second chakra and third chakra and every place in your body for absolute possibility in healing, in coming to a deep place of congruence inside of yourself, then you're going to love this interview with the one and only Leah Piper, who has been such an incredible teacher for so many on the tantric path, and just is a world of wisdom and information. And she, I would say, just is so eloquent in her delivery. So you're going to absolutely just be hanging on every word of this interview. And anything you want to share, Leah, about your interview to come?
Well, I think we talk a lot about sexual abuse and overcoming and healing sexual trauma. So just want to prepare you for that and to be really tender to yourself. And when you listen to this, and if you know someone who's had an experience like this, or you have had an experience of sexual trauma, I just want you to know to be really tender and to breathe. And there's a lot of light at the end of the tunnel. So just heads up. We're going deep, folks.
Yeah, we sure are. Enjoy the interview. Tune in, turn on, and fall in love with Leah Piper.
Yeah, baby. Love, love, love.
Welcome to the Sex Reimagined podcast, where sex is shame-free and pleasure forward. Let's get into the show.
We are in for a treat today because we are interviewing the one, the only, the glorious, the tantric goddess, Leah Piper. And I'm so excited to dive in with you today because I know that you have overcome some very, very serious and long-term sort of ongoing sexual trauma from a very young age. And I just have to say, I'm always so impressed with how healed you are. I mean, I know you've done a lot of work, but even still, I know a lot of people have done a lot of work from when they were abused as young children, like under the age of 5. And it's really, it's such a deep ongoing journey. And we even talked with Carolyn Muir about this and how she would have that moment in a sexual experience at the age that she's at, where it would just be like this little threshold to cross over. And so I'm just curious, like your experience around the healing, for one, like the healing journey and how Tantra really opened up the tantric practices and the rituals and the ceremonies, really opened up that healing path for you. And then also where you're at with some of the specific traumas that your body experienced, mm-hmm. and those thresholds that you have to cross over in your current sexual experience.
Well, I think the thing that will always be with me is the memory of how painful the impact of the experience was, how confusing it was, how shame feels in the body. I think when you have been molested at a young age, and especially for ongoing, and that's just my experience. I think anyone can have any experience that felt traumatic, and especially when it comes to sexuality. And there's a sensation of shame that's very visceral.
Tell me about what that feels like in your body.
It's like a sinking feeling. It's like you want to collapse inward. There's a desire to hide. It is such an uncomfortable sensation of dread. Really, like dread is a good word for it.
Yeah.
It would always hit me in my gut, this feeling of I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. And it's not easy to shake off.
Yeah.
It can just stick around you. It can creep up on you, you know, in these dark moments of the night, you know, when you can't fall asleep. Mm-hmm. It can creep up on you when you see something on TV. Mm-hmm. It can creep up on you when I've just binged eat and have just stuffed as much bad food into my body as I can because I'm trying to escape the feeling. And I might have like a moment of respite, but then it all comes back. Because I've just done something harmful to myself. It can happen after, you know, I remember later on in life, it would happen after casual sex and wrestling with the feelings of worthlessness. There's a feeling, it kind of comes back when you think you've misbehaved, you know, like been too big or laughed too loud or played too small. You know, like there's these interesting moments when it all comes crashing in on you, this feeling that this little body had at a young age. And so there's just such a, and I'm grateful that I don't experience that dread anymore. Every once in a while, it'll arise when I feel like I embarrassed myself.
Okay. I was going to ask, what's your current sort of relationship with that shame and dread?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it comes up when I think I've really fucked something up, or I've disappointed somebody, or I've embarrassed myself, but it's never been to the degree ever the sensation as when it was as a kid, and as that stayed with me until I resolved it. And I've been very tenacious in my resolve to be a shame-free human being.
Yeah, you have. I mean, just bow down to the.
I have fought
to the
for it.
You have worked your ass off to get.
I've taken that motherfucker to the mat, and I have wrestled it, and I have conquered it, and I am victorious.
Yes, you are. I am witness to that. Yeah, it is incredible, and I think, you know, I think that really shines through your work as a teacher. That's why I was so attracted to you as a teacher connoisseur. I was like, she's an amazing teacher. You know, I picked you out and pinpointed you as like a golden teacher, like a creme de la creme of teachers in this tantric industry. And I think it is because you did take that to the mat and you did wrestle the fuck out of it. And you really have come to a deep place of congruence inside of yourself. Whereas most of your upbringing, coming to age and all of your adult life, there was a deep incongruence going on. And
And I think, too, I had a lot of spiritual confusion growing up because we dabbled in a couple different methods of Christianity.
Right.
And there are so many beautiful things that I actually have taken with me from those different spiritual systems that my parents, you know, felt strongly about. But there was also just a lot of junk that had to be disavowed. And I felt it in my body even as a kid going, there's something not right with this message.
Right.
And you may be forcing me to pick it up, but as soon as I can, I'm going to put it back down.
I remember that about religion too. Just like, this does not resonate inside of me. Like, I'll go to church, I'll play your game, but this is not my choice.
Yeah, like I never understood these weird rules that were different for boys and girls.
Yeah.
I was angry and pissed off that it seemed like guys could get away with so much more and girls had to like tout this bullshit purity thing. And I still have feelings that there is this normalizing of male sexual energy and sexuality that is not normalized for girls. Like, yeah. It's okay for them to be horny, but, you know, girls somehow wouldn't have the same drive or desires. Mm-hmm. Or there's this weird cultural conditioning that is like, boys have to convince a girl to want to. And then there's consequences when a girl allows herself to be convinced.
Right.
You know, it's just, and I don't, you know, I don't have kids and I'm no longer a teenager. So I don't know how things are different now because I don't get exposed to that so much. Mm-hmm. A lot of my friends in my circle group don't have kids. You know, just a small handful do. So I'm not sure what the temperature is in today's world. I can really only speak from personal experience.
Yeah. And I think the temperature is different, different households, different families, different, states, different cultures, different religions, different. Yeah. All of it.
Yeah,
so,
the whole,
you know, different social statuses and financial brackets and all that. So it's quite a range, you know, and I mean, here in Santa Cruz, California, it's like all the teens, all the young coming of age kids are, they're changing their gender, right? They're like, I'm not a girl anymore. I'm a boy now, or I am not any gender. And I think there's a lot of confusion being bred around that. But I also think that there's a beautiful sense of a seed of sovereignty that's being planted. Like, okay, like you can question your gender. Yeah. Like, I change my name. Like, if you want to change and be who you want to be, like, change and be who you want to be. So
yeah, try it on.
So right. That, so yeah. So I think there's, you know, there's pros and cons to all of it, but it is just what it is. And so,
well, I think, you know, one of the things that I have shared in my classes is the, like, sort of the impact. And it's one of the reasons why I think the chakra system is so fascinating, and why I, although if you can, if those of you who are listening and you hear the word chakra and you roll your eyes, just suspend the eye roll for just a half a minute with me, and just consider that what's brilliant about it is it gives us the psychological information to help us understand how we store our emotional, stressful experiences, those experiences of crisis, how we store that somatically in the body, where we store it.
Yeah.
And I feel like my experience of sexual abuse is very, I can identify it completely from that framework. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about survival, right, that gets stored. Has to do with our elimination. It's stored in the root. It's the foundation chakra. It has to do with the anal cavity, that whole part of the structure of our body. It's that base part. It's the foundation part of our body. And then you go up there from there and you have the sexual center. And then you go up from there and you have the navel and the solar plexus. And that has to do with power. And up from there is the heart. And that has to deal with love. And then you got the throat and your ability to be expressed and to speak the truth. And then you have the third eye. And that's all about your ability to be reflective and have insight. And then you have that seventh chakra, which is connected to your alignment and your connection to spirit. And when I looked at my experience through the lens of that, because I needed to heal myself. I was desperate to overcome this. And I had the realization in my early 20s. And basically it was, if I don't get past some of this, it is going to screw up every relationship I'm ever going to have. And it's screwing up my health because of my reaction to dread and shame. And the things that I would choose to get out of that sensation.
What kind of things?
Drugs, alcohol, sex, and food.
Food.
Were the big ones. And I've had to figure out, like, those, I still reach for things to change my state. As I've matured and gotten healthier, what I choose to change my state has gotten better.
Healthier,
I'm not reaching for the things that are going to numb me out. Right. I try to reach for exercise for the things that are going to uplift me.
Right.
But there are times when I still choose food.
Yeah.
And that is something that I work with and I try to manage and I try not to be as dysfunctional with. But that's probably been the scariest thing is the food. You know, we talked about in Willow's interview – mm-hmm. her eating disorder experience growing up as a kid, and I had one too, and mine lasted well into my 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm. And it's been a long road overcoming that. And I have to say, when I started to examine, where am I storing this experience? Now, I remember I went to my first weekend seminar for Tantra with Charles and Caroline Muir. And at the end of that weekend, it hit me how much I hated myself.
Wow.
And it was like the depth of self-loathing was so deep in me. When I looked in the mirror, I saw someone I hated.
Wow.
I looked in the mirror and I saw someone who was hideous and ugly. I mean, physically completely ugly and unlovable and broken.
How old were you?
That I felt that throughout my life until I was about 27.
And when, what age did the sexual
The age that
abuse
I decided
start?
To do something about it, I was
23. Okay. Yeah. So it took that many years from 23
it
to
took
27.
About 4 years to yeah. clean it out
yeah.
of the corners of my system.
Of your body, yeah. of your chakra system.
The yeah. first 2 years were tremendous awakening, mm-hmm. tremendous mm-hmm. shame. I would say a year after that weekend seminar, I had done a sacred spot practice with myself 2 to 3 times a week mm-hmm. for about a half hour to 45 minutes mm-hmm. for the entire year.
Wow.
I was dedicated to
doing it.
Putting the love that I was so good at giving my friends.
Everyone else.
You know, like yeah. I was the one, you got a broken heart, you come over
you
to my house.
You get love, come on
you
over, I'll give you a big
love,
hug.
You come over to my house.
You just put you know, your head like, right on my chest, I could just see you just like, yeah. come on over with the big open arms.
Yes.
Mama
and
Leah.
My parents really modeled being a good friend.
Uh-huh.
You know, our house was social central. Uh-huh. And they're good friends to their friends. My mom especially is just an awesome friend. So I learned how to do that. I learned how to love good.
That's good. So let's back up a little bit. So at what age did the sexual trauma begin?
Around like 4 or 5. And
okay.
it went until about 11 or 12.
11 or 12. So all those years.
Right around like starting to really hit puberty, I put a stop to it. Because, and I just stopped putting myself in situations where it could happen.
Okay.
So one of the things that's most painful, and I kind of go back to that, why the chakra model was so profound for me, mm-hmm. is because as I started to look at the psychology of where I was storing the pain, I could see how my experience was living in each one of my chakras.
Mm.
Because at such a young age, like that survival chakra, that root chakra, it was like, I have to survive this. This is close to my home. There's no escaping this person, right? So it's survival is a big time. And then sexually in the sex center, this was the most painful. This took me years to grapple with because the shame told me I was doing something wrong and dirty mm-hmm. and bad, but my body liked it.
Right.
My mind didn't like it. My heart didn't like it. My spirit was devastated over it. But there was something in my body that liked it and craved it.
See, I think that's one of the confusing things for anyone who's been through any sexual trauma, whether it was a one-time incident or long-term, is it's like your body is designed to get pleasure from those parts of your body, from those orifices.
Yeah.
And
especially nonviolent sexual trauma.
Right.
You know, like, and so it was like, I must be the one who's wrong if there's a part of me that likes this attention, that wants to be touched this way. And so at a very young age, I'm experiencing pleasure. I know what pleasure is.
Mm-hmm.
I know what orgasm is in my body. I didn't know that word.
Right.
I didn't know that that's what I was experiencing. I didn't know that that was the thing that kept on putting me in that position to play that game.
Right.
But that's what was happening. So that was really hard. And I think that ended up being the root of the shame. So it was kind of like one of the last things to tackle.
So
I was in denial of that for quite some time.
Right.
I just thought this terrible thing happened to me.
What would you say to people who've been through sexual trauma who did have orgasm and did have pleasure during it and are confused and are in an incongruent place inside of themselves and like can't kind of come to reconciliation around that?
Well, the first thing I would say is that whatever you're feeling is right on time.
Yeah.
Whatever you're feeling about it, you're exactly in the right place. And to just find someone that you can trust, and if that person is not noticeably visible to you, you can trust yourself. and you come inside and you love yourself. You give yourself the love that whatever that sensation needs, and to just be like approving of where you're at on the journey, and to have hope that this is something that you can resolve. This doesn't have to be in your way anymore. Mm-hmm. But that the number one way to move past whatever sensation is arising in the moment is to stay present, mm-hmm. and try to finish feeling what the feeling is.
Yeah.
And to have faith and hope, because it is the shoving down of the sensation that prevents us from resolving the experience. Right. And so what I noticed as I started my healing journey is that I had to finish metabolizing what happened to me. Because when we're going through a crisis, our body is so smart and the chakras are so intelligent. They're extensions of our brain. They carry consciousness. And so what they do is they relieve us from having to process that fucking crisis in the moment, because the psyche can't. Right. It's too overwhelming. It's
just
too
trying
much.
To survive.
And so it's taking care of us and it's putting it away somatically in mm-hmm. our tissues and in these energy places, in the hopes that when the dust is settled, we can go back in. Finish feeling it, you know, when now we're safe, let's metabolize this emotion and move on with our life. And that's mm-hmm. why most of us are in therapy, is because we've seen that there's something from our past that's kind of screwing up our now, and we're worried mm-hmm. about our future. So right. we go and we talk it out. And talking it out can be very valuable, but mm-hmm. it's only working with really one, if you're lucky, two chakras.
Yeah.
So it doesn't get, you know, it's still in the tissues. You know, the tissues carry the issues, people. and when you have trauma, that's definitely, it's being stored in your body. So talk therapy, as many people know, can only take you so far.
Absolutely.
And if you want real freedom and liberation, you gotta go to the somatic. Because it happened to the body, especially sexual trauma. Yeah. It didn't happen to your mind only.
Right.
Exactly. Happen to your whole body.
And I want to just say too, just on that note, I'll do somatic release therapy with people on Zoom. So I don't have to be with them physically to get into the soma, to get into the cellular body, to clear those chakras yeah. of what they've been holding for so many years. So just to put that plug in. But I'm curious for you with your healing journey, I'm imagining that you kind of jumped around and danced around some of the chakras, like maybe there was healing at the root in the second, and then jumped up to the throat and, you know, started to express.
Yeah, I really sort of explored different things. So, you know, back to how being a good friend helped me be a good friend to myself was being able to go, well, I know how to be a good friend to others. I know how to give someone a hug when they're crying. I know how to give someone the cheerleader pep talk. You know, I know how to do these things. Why aren't I doing these things for me? And so it was a learning how to give the love that is so comes so easily to me outside, and figure out, how do I get that love inside? And so what I realized is that it required me touching my skin, mm-hmm. saying nice things instead of mean things, mm-hmm. even if I didn't believe them.
Yeah.
Doing it
affirmations, anyways. Positive mm-hmm. affirmations, even if you don't believe them.
Yeah.
They start to
ask a higher power for help. Mm-hmm. You know, especially when I'm lost, I don't have to do it by myself. Mm-hmm. And then energetically connecting to the energy, and then using things that I learned, like breath and sound, mm-hmm. to help move the blocks up and out. So there would be times when, like, okay, so this experience, obviously, it's okay, we got survival, we've got the sexual, the shame of pleasure, then there's power. I felt powerless. I mm-hmm. felt powerless to the fact that there were parts of me that enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I felt powerless to talk to anyone about it. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually trust. I always worried that my parents' shame to know that this happened to me would be too big. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't take care of them. I was too young to figure out how to take care of mom and dad. So even though they always said, if anyone ever touches you inappropriately, you come and talk to me. And I believe they felt that, but I didn't trust them. Because I didn't have any self-trust at that age either.
You didn't trust yourself.
So I just carried it all in this little body. And I just thought, well, I have to carry their shame now, too. Yeah. So I just like, I put
it's
on
a
backpack.
Heavy load for
oh, my God,
one.
Such a heavy load. And so then my heart was broken. Mm-hmm. So that was the power center. And then
I think
my heart,
another word just for powerless is also hopeless. as I get, a lot of people who are like, I just feel hopeless.
Trapped, yeah.
Yeah, and so if that feels, that's resonates. Also going to be the power center, right? So that solar plexus, yeah.
And so then, you know, it was really hard on my heart because I really cared about the person that this was happening with.
Yeah.
And I didn't want them to get in trouble either.
Right.
So I was also protecting them.
Yeah, shuts down expression about it. Right.
Yeah. And so then that comes up to the voice, right? It was like, okay, well, I love everybody. I don't want to get anyone in trouble. Mm-hmm. And so I can't say anything.
Right.
And then when we get to the sixth and the seventh, so the sixth, I'm so confused. I don't know why this is happening to me. I don't know how to get out and I'm scared.
Right.
And then the seventh, it was like, where was God?
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, I'm being raised in this Pentecostal Christian religious thing, and I'm being told that, oh, Jesus has all his little lambs, and as a child you're one of his little lambs, and you know, the flock and the whole thing and the purity, and I'm thinking, okay, if I'm one of the lambs, why am I lost?
Right
Where's God? I must be really bad. I'm the lamb that's really bad. I'm the lamb that God forgot about, or worse, I'm the lamb that God is mad at
punishing.
So it was like, so then as I came of age and I got angry and angrier that this happened to me, then I'm like, where the fuck was the community? Where the fuck were my parents? Where the fuck was God? You know, and I'm just a raging, hurt, confused, fuck everyone, you know, period. There was the fuck everyone period. Because I felt so abandoned.
Was that like your, like 19, 20?
That was when I first started the process. Okay, because so up until like that point, I felt like I deserved it because I was worthless and there was something broken inside and I had to pretend I was lovable, but any minute someone could find out.
And another,
and they would know the truth.
Another tricky nuance about a lot of people's, or if there's ongoing sexual trauma at a young age, is sometimes the perpetrator isn't doing it maliciously. Like they're just curious. They don't know what they're doing.
They're expressing a part of this confusing, erotic nature of the human being and different experiences. And I'm very certain that this person was also sexually abused.
Right.
And was trying things on me that they were also experiencing.
Right.
And so there's always a path of how this gets wired into the system. And then that's another load of shame.
Right.
Because if you think it's painful to be the one that was molested, try thinking about how painful it is to be the molester.
Right.
And so it's very complex, and actually understanding the potential pain that person is in helped me reach forgiveness, helped me understand that I don't have to stay in the perpetrator victim triangle regarding this.
Right.
I can actually go beyond that. And that confession was an important healing step, but I couldn't skip that over to that step. Actually had to
feel go through
the injustice and the anger and the how could this happen? And I needed to be mad at everybody. Mm-hmm. And that part of me needed to have a turn to go, I didn't deserve this.
Right.
This isn't my fault. Right. And I'm so grateful for Tantra because it helped me go through these stages of healing. And how it did that was helping me understand where to put my hands on my own body. It helped me understand where I'm storing the impact of those experiences in my body. And then it challenged me to choose something different, to call the voice in my head out that wanted me to believe that I was worthless and unlovable, because it wanted to keep me small because it didn't want me to keep being in pain. It was confused, this ego. This poor little ego is so confused that it does these warped things to try to keep us safe. Mm-hmm. And eventually that becomes so dysfunctional that you're hating. You're hating the inside of your head and all the things it's saying to you because it's not saying nice things. And so I had to... It helped me go, oh, I've got a volume control. Mm. When I am saying loving things and caressing my body and holding these chakras and imagining that I'm creating a circuit between my brain mm-hmm. and the rest of my body that mm-hmm. is one that is communicating love, forgiveness, understanding, giving me permission to make the sounds of the pain and the anguish in the past yeah. and helping me metabolize all of this, uh-huh. then I would come out of it and just feel so free and clean. I felt yeah. clean. Because anyone who's been molested, there's a feeling of being dirty. That's another shame sensation, is a feeling of dirtiness.
Can't get clean
And
enough.
So yeah. somewhere deep inside me, I came up with the courage. I had to dig in deep to face this mm-hmm. in my body. And no one likes these sensations.
No,
you start
they
to have these sensations arise
and
you want to run in the other direction.
Heck
you don't
yeah.
want to feel it.
No. Yeah, that's why we keep burying it in the basement. So two questions, kind of unrelated, but did you have a frame of reference for the chakras before you got to Tantra? I'm
no.
just curious.
No. I think okay, I'd so heard that, of them, but okay. I wasn't, no in-depth study
you know,
of them.
And I just want to say, chakra, like there's so many different ways of using the chakras and like looking at a chakra system. And what Leah is speaking to is a very, very, very in-depth level that a lot of chakra programs or whatever out there don't touch and don't hit, which is this psychological component. Mm-hmm. She and I are actually putting together a really beautiful program for all of you who are ready to overcome these old stories, these old experiences, and to get into these caverns that where things get stuck, where things get held. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be coming out in the fall. But then my other question for you is like, did you ever go through like a somatic journey? Did anyone ever kind of guide you in a journey where you actually went back to that
oh,
time
yeah.
when you were 5, 6 and did something different or spoke up or did something? Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. I think there's so many different places I traveled to through doing certain practices that helped me get in touch with my body and helped me get in touch with the sensations and feelings. And then through the support of really amazing healers and lovers, they were able to help guide me. So what'll happen is you'll be receiving this sort of sacred touch, and all this love is flowing from a loving being into your body. And what's so interesting about getting that kind of sacred, loving, presence-filled touch to your body is something happens where whatever isn't love suddenly starts to bubble to the surface, and the tears come, and the aches come, and the devastation comes.
Yeah.
And here's someone who's just holding you through it.
Yeah.
Man, and you feel they've got you, and there's still a part of you that wants to run and hide and don't
yeah.
look at me. I'm
yeah.
I'm afraid that if I go here and I'm this vulnerable and I'm this naked with you, you're not going to like what you see, and you're going to
yeah.
run away, and you won't really be there. And like, that's the worst fear, is if you're really vulnerable and you're like, okay, you can look at my guts, that someone's going to run and abandon you, because many of us have been abandoned.
Right.
Because many of us have been rejected,
right.
you know, because we've been with people who couldn't stay present for that.
Right.
And they've shut down the emotions.
Because
so it's important
yeah,
that you're with someone who's skilled.
Yeah. They're holding something inside of their own chakras.
Yeah. And back to sort of your
yeah.
question about like going back into the past and changing.
Yeah.
This was one of the most amazing things I learned.
Yeah.
Is that from a quantum physics frame of mind, the past, the present, and the future are all happening at the same time. So it was exciting to lean into that because we could go back and I could be feeling that dread and that fear of being caught
right.
and make a different choice.
Right.
You know, I could get help.
Right.
I could talk to my parents.
Right.
I could tell them what happened. And then by acting that out, you know, visually while my body's being supported and I'm crying and I'm feeling the sensations and to have a positive response happen.
Mm-hmm.
When the session was over, I brought that into present time reality.
Mm-hmm.
And then that changed something. That's changed my perception. It actually changed my body's perception of the entire history. It wasn't an illusion. I didn't then go into denial that this thing
that
didn't happen or that
yeah.
my parents suddenly appeared and everything was fine.
Right.
But I got to have multiple scenarios and I lived out those different scenarios in the here and now. It's kind
right.
of trippy.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I leaned into was I leaned all the time, like probably that year where I was doing Sacred Spot on myself 3 times a week.
Uh-huh.
Every single session, I would tune into my future self, who was already healed, who had been through the journey, who was living her best life. And I would just have her, I would just feel and attune to that energy and gain some of that wisdom. And I would just kind of play out a scenario in my head of what her life looked like and how she felt about herself and the compassion. I could feel her compassion for where I was at right now, wrestling with all this stuff. And I would get courage and encouragement from that future Leah.
Yeah.
Because I needed something to hold on to. I needed a tether that went, okay, all this hard work is going to pull you to the Leah who so wants to be alive today.
Right. The true essence of you.
Yeah.
I think that's another piece too, is so many of us don't have a sense of like, what is our true essence for us as individuals? And that's one of the first things that I like to get people in touch with is like, draw a picture, like get quiet, get still. What is your essence? What does it look like? And if there's a lot
of
trauma and, you know, blocked chakras, it might be really hard. So you might have to do some clearing first. But once you can get to that level of like, what's my essence? What does it look like? What's it doing? Who's it surrounded by? What does it wear? How does it adorn itself? How does it move through the world? What's the light that's coming out of its eyes? You know, really paint a picture and literally draw it or write about it or do a collage of what your essence is so that you can continually have that North Star, like have that carrot out in front of you. That's what you're going for. That's where you're...
That's what you're working for.
And you're such a beautiful example of like really living in your essence. And look at where you are in your life. Look at your life. You know, you
I'm now that future Leah that I was leaning into, you know, like 1,000%. I totally believe that. And and I'm really fucking proud of myself.
I'm proud of you.
You know, I have to say, like, this was no easy task. And as a result of like starting that journey, it's that year everything started to change in my life. Because I was emotionally metabolizing that trauma and I was cleaning it up, and I would go to like, sometimes I would feel like, and so what I would do, just to give you guys more, what was the practice? The practice was, okay, put your hands on two chakras all the time, have an intention, and then eventually give yourself sacred spot. And so try to strengthen the circuitry with your whole body.
So let's pause
and energy.
Let's describe that a little, break that down a little bit. So strengthen the circuitry.
So your hands, so I would imagine that my hands had current. And so it's easier to describe this. One of the things we do in some of our courses is we put people in these meditations, and you'll be working with somebody and you'll do like a heart sandwich with your hand. So if I was with Willow right now, I could put one hand on the back of her heart and then another hand on the front of her heart. And then I imagine that through my arms, hands, and heart, I can send energy, loving energy to her. And that loving energy could have an intention. It could say, may you feel safe. May you know that you belong. May you feel beautiful. May you feel loved, right? So you can use a thought form and an emotion to impact that energy that you're sending to somebody. And then you could do a stomach sandwich and do the same thing and work with the power center. Or you could very gently do it with the neck, or you could do it with a third eye, and you could, and so there's this whole sandwiching where you're running current.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, go ahead.
I was just going to say, one of the beautiful things about doing that energy sandwich and running current is this, the heart meridian, the pericardium, which is the envelope around the heart, so the heart protector, and the small intestine, all of these meridians connected to the heart are all running right through the center of the palm, the side of the palm. So, and then they run up through the heart and out the other side. And in energy work, the right side is the positive pole, left side is the receptive. So you can feel energy moving in through the left, up through the heart, and then out through the right and into that person's heart or third eye or throat chakra, whatever it is.
Yeah. It's so transformative. It really surprises people. And so it's easier to imagine when you're doing that to someone else. Now you have to imagine doing it to yourself. And so I didn't so much like try to get to the back of my heart and the front of my heart to do it to myself. It was more like I wanted to connect two different chakras together.
Yeah, because that can just get awkward. You're like, not comfortable.
right. Yeah. And then there was something that the invitation was to build the circuitry between the chakras. Mm. So the idea is that I would inhale and I would breathe up energy. And you can breathe in positive energy from anywhere, right? I mean, there's positive energy in the air. There's positive energy in the
trees,
earth. There's positive energy with your belief in spirit or God or whatever name you use. Mm-hmm. So people kind of, you think about wonderful, beautiful energy and you want to breathe that in. And then you're going to send it out the right hand. And then whatever the right hand sends energetically is going to be caught by your left hand because your left hand has the magnetic charge. And so try to visualize this. I've got a hand on my heart. I've got a hand on my navel or my belly. And now what I'm trying to do is I'm going to try to connect those two zones so that my power is filled with my love. And so my love is filled with power. And that's sort of the prayer that I'm building. And so then I would pull up. So one of the things I needed and didn't have was a feeling of forgiveness. Mm. I didn't know how to resource forgiveness to circulate that in my system. Mm-hmm. I had to pull the forgiveness from somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I would inhale forgiveness, usually the earth, because I'm just more, I'm an earthbound goddess, earth is all I like to say.
Yeah.
So you pull it from wherever you need to. But I would imagine that I could breathe in forgiveness from the earth. And then I would breathe it into my heart. And then that forgiveness would go out my right arm and hand to touch whatever chakra I was touching with that right hand. In this case, it would be the heart. And then that energy of forgiveness would then flow down into my power system where my left hand was resting and therefore strengthening a circuit. Mm. And so then I would just kind of go one by one, play with that with various chakras. So sometimes I would hold my yoni and then I would, which is the second chakra, which is the sexual center. And then I would hold the back of my neck. And in those moments, what I was trying to connect and dig in for was, may I speak my sexual truth? Like my yoni has a voice and I've been ignoring it. I've been just operating unconsciously when it comes to sexuality. And I am done picking up strangers at bars. Like there is something dysfunctional happening and it's because I'm not tuning in to what she has to say. Mm. And so that whole year, I started to really listen to what my yoni had to say. Mm-hmm. And I started to get out of my way. And one of the things and the sensations that started to rise as me touching my genitals differently and touching them therapeutically. So I think for most women in particular, we are either sexualized when it comes to sexual touch. Like when mm-hmm. someone's touching our yoni or our pussy or your vulva, mm-hmm. it's like, it's usually because someone either wants something sexually or maybe they're trying to give something sexually or it's clinical.
Right. Right.
And very few of us have ever experienced anything therapeutic.
Yeah.
And so I really needed the therapeutic aspect. And so I was also plugging into exploring myself there. Mm-hmm. And finding out and excavating the things that were still holding pain. Mm-hmm. And there would be times when I would find what I call a little hot spot or a gnarly bit. And there were times in my G spot where I felt broken glass. Mm-hmm. Like there were sensations that were not pleasant. Mm-hmm. And I had to breathe through them. And so I learned how to not run away from the pain, mm-hmm. but how to bring presence and loving energy. I didn't, when I found a spot that was painful in every part, any part of my body, mm-hmm. I would keep my attention there. I would back up the pressure, but I would imagine I could run more energy. And then my job was to breathe that feeling up and then to find a sound that would match with the feeling.
Yeah.
So if it was broken glass, all right, well, what does broken glass feel like? You know, like, I don't know.
What does it sound like?
What does it sound like? What does it sound like? And so I had to make up sounds until I found the right vibration. Mm. So it could be, owie, 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 owie. Mm-hmm. And then as I had the courage to keep making the sound of the sensation, be it pleasure, be it numbness, be it bruising, mm-hmm. That sound I came to find out was carrying the block out of my body mm-hmm. because sound has pitch and frequency. It mm-hmm. is a real thing. It mm-hmm. can be measured. And giving a voice to the sensation freed the sensation. And the more and more I did that, the more and more freed up I was.
Let's break down the sacred spot, where that is. Okay. You probably all have heard us talk about this. I mean, hopefully you've heard us talk about this already. But if this is your first intro to it, we need to break that down. And then also, were you using fingers? Were you using wands? Were you using vibrators? Give us more detail.
Okay, great. So I was mostly using fingers. And then I also used a tool called the crystal wand. So I would use that sometimes, or I would just use my fingers. It was years before I got into vibrators, so I never really used vibrators. It might be interesting to see, you know, how a vibrator may assist someone. But I think for me in particular, I needed the human touch. I needed skin to skin. So even when I was using the crystal wand, I imagined the current of energy that I wanted to send to my body, let's say a spot in my yoni, like forgiveness. I would send that emotion of forgiveness into the wand so it would go into the tissue. And, you know, I think some people, you know, play with those things to reach orgasm. I was often experiencing Amrita, the female ejaculation, but I wasn't always experiencing orgasms or lots of pleasure. Yeah. I was more excavating discomfort.
That's an important thing to note too. Like Amrita can come even outside of orgasm. So a lot of women are having it, not knowing that they're having it. So
yeah. And another thing, I would do this exercise in the bathtub. There was something about, I felt like I needed to get clean. And it felt baptismal.
Yeah.
Like every time I got into the tub to ritual, do this practice, ceremony. I felt like I was coming out, like I could have a second chance.
Yeah, not to mention when you pull the plug on that bathtub, you're like watching it all go down the drain.
Yeah. That's and beautiful. So where's the sacred spot? So there's a lot of people think that the sacred spot is the G spot. And they're actually two different things. The G spot is the erectile tissue that fills with blood that can be highly erotic, but also often needs some healing, because a lot of women, when they first discovered their G spot, they're like, what is the big deal? This is not very pleasurable. This is not hot at all.
It can feel kind of numb, scratchy, burny, like, hot.
Am I even in the right place? Do I have one?
Yeah.
So all that means is, yes, you have one. Yes, you're probably in the right place, and you just need to touch it more, and it'll start to awaken and become more sensitive. When you go into the vagina and you reach along the front upper wall, so imagine that you are reaching for the back of your clitoris. That's the way to sort of feel and find the G-spot and the sacred spot. So as I go in and I go around the tip of the pubic bone, there is this energetic spot that we called, the Charles Muir named the sacred spot. And it's like, it has a magnetic pull to it. It almost feels like your finger goes kunk, like it wants to land there. Mm-hmm. It definitely feels like it's the back of your clitoris.
It can feel like silk. It's almost like when silk is hanging in the air and you put your finger against it. It's like it's barely there, but it's, you can just kind of feel it, you know, it's like that.
And so, and one of the things you need to know, so it is found along the G-spot tissue.
Yeah.
But what's different about it compared to the tissue is it's an energy meridian. So it's like an acupuncture or an acupressure point. And it's what carries the psyche of the chakra. So that's why it's been so tremendously healing for so many people who end up practicing sacred spot massages. It has had quite a surprising phenomenon in its healing, predictably healing power, and why so many people have felt transformed by it is because you're kind of opening the door of the things that we hold there. And so for me, I had a lot to be curious about. And to feel. And it's not just the things that we store that are negative in nature. There is pleasure. There is bliss. There is a portal to the everything. There's another reason why people talk about G-spot orgasms being so profound and so beautiful. And I think it has something to do with the sacred spot. Also for some people, because it's an energy meridian, it can be a little to the left, a little bit to the right, a little bit higher, a little bit lower.
Yeah.
It's
everyone's
not
different.
Always just
everyone's
static.
Anatomy is different. Yeah. I think it's also important to note, we're talking about chakras, and the first time I sat with Leah and Charles as teachers at Source Tantra, their breakdown of chakras was different than what I had always learned and known chakras to be. Chakras really are where you feel them in your own body. Yeah. The second chakra being either the vulva or the lingam.
And then the chakras are also front to back, you know, so you can access them from the back of the body or from the front of the body.
Just like acupuncture points too, on every single person's body, are they going to be in a slightly different location based on the size and the shape of that person's body?
Yeah. So it's fascinating. And I always describe the chakras as having two different systems. You have the Eastern system, you have the Western system. The Western system tends to look at it from a more psychological, emotional lens, whereas the Eastern perspective tends to look at it from a spiritually awakening viewpoint. So it's like, how do you get ahead on the God game, and how do you open up the energy and the subtle energy body? And so people have different ways of getting in touch with that. Some people chant, some people visualize, some people meditate, some people touch, some people breathe. You know, there's all these different ways that help the chakras align to your system. And it's just been a very helpful healing tool for my body.
It's so powerful. I love. Also to note that each one of your chakras is aligned with one of your endocrine glands. So there's a really strong component to your hormonal system and your chakra system. So let's say you've got a block at the throat chakra because of sexual trauma that you had when you were young and you haven't been able to express it. You've never talked about it. And there's some kind of thyroid disorder that's causing you to have irregular circadian rhythms, irregular periods, poor metabolism, or whatever it is.
So like as a result of facing these things, these sensations in my system that were, could be unpleasant, things started to change. And as I started making the sound and breathing and processing them and moving them, moving those tears out and moving that anger out and moving all this stuff, what ended up happening is I felt like I was clearing space in my body, that stuff that was being held onto for years, suddenly space was being created. And then what? Well, then I filled up that space with love. And so then it was about, okay, I went in and I encountered some of these sensations that were uncomfortable. I did all the things. And now what do you do? And so it was so helpful to learn that bringing the now, the present time love that's existing here in the now for me, was something that I could then breathe in and fill those vacated spaces. Because who I really wanted to be in the world was a loving being, especially loving to myself and loving to others, and then to bring in the beloved and to have an extraordinary sexual, romantic life, because suddenly the path was laid out and I realized this is what I must do in the world. And this is why this happened to me.
Right.
So finding, because I just remember being a kid and going, why is this happening? I don't understand. And to be able to go, oh, this is why, because I'm actually strong enough. I was a strong enough person to go through that, and I'm a strong enough person to overcome it, and I'm a strong enough person to teach it and to initiate people into having that experience too. Like, it was my dharma. It is my dharma.
And thank God that you found your path with it all. Now, what would you say to people who are like, I don't feel strong enough to overcome this? That similar thing happened to me, and I do not believe I'm strong enough to overcome it.
Yeah, and to just go, yeah, I hear you. You don't feel strong today, but you do have the strength. We just have to figure out how to resource it.
Yeah.
The question is, do you want to be strong enough?
Right.
Would you like to be strong enough? Could you imagine your future self right now who didn't believe they were strong enough when they started, but they're strong enough now?
Right.
It turns out they were strong enough. Right. So it really ends up coming to, it's okay not to be strong enough. In fact, lean on my strength.
Yeah.
I will give you some strength. I know how to do that. Right. The question is do you want to be strong enough? Are you ready to be strong enough? Are you ready to get some help?
Yeah.
You don't have to do it alone. I'm really glad I didn't have to do this alone. Now, there was a part of it that I had to do alone.
Right.
that solo practice was absolutely instrumental mm-hmm. in me changing my life. I changed careers. I changed locations. Mm-hmm. I changed the people that were in my life. I started pulling in amazing men into my life. Mm-hmm. Oh, the caliber for everything went up. I made more money. Dream job came in. Yeah, all of it changed.
I think it's important to note, too, because a lot of people are like, oh, God, this is a journey. You know, like they probably hear us talking about, like, yes, and the years go by and we're on this journey. And you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to get on that journey. Right. Yeah. But then so much changed for you in one single year, like massive transformation.
And we haven't even talked about the pleasure rewards, because it wasn't like it was all devastation that I had to process. In between these big emotional releases would come the most profound orgasmic experiences of my life. Earth shaking, body enlivening and awakening. I mean, my body was getting turned onto something that was so beautiful in the name of pleasure. And it felt like spiritual pleasure. It was sacred pleasure. It wasn't frivolous pleasure. It was life-changing pleasure. And so with the courage it takes to release the junk, you were rewarded with incredible sensations of beauty and pleasure and phenomenon and profundity, and all the magic of the world starts to also reveal itself to you. And that stuff's always been there, but we just couldn't see it because our view, the glasses we were wearing, were colored by the pain that we endured.
Absolutely.
So all this stuff is mixed with tons of beauty. Mm-hmm. And that's what keeps you going.
Well, I think that's part of the rebirth of it all, right? It's the expansion, contraction, expansion, contraction. And if you can, on your journey, if you can trust that after a deep contraction, there's going to be another expansion. And after a big expansion, there's going to be another contraction. If you can just trust in that Taoist nature of things, then you can not be so attached to the hard times and not so attached to the good times, and know that they are all just for your evolution.
Yeah, you stop taking the contraction so seriously, and they just start to be a part of what you can expect. Mm-hmm. And that actually helps you get through the contractions a lot faster.
Yes. Resisting those contractions makes them 10 times worse. If you can just open to them.
I have to say it was helpful to start to, I mean, so the solo practice served a purpose. And there were also times when I received sacred spot from men. Mm-hmm. And I needed that. I needed to be held by the masculine. I needed to be witnessed in my pain by the masculine. Mm-hmm. And I needed the love from the masculine. And so having really amazing healers and people who were willing to represent the masculine in all of its forms for me so that I could really heal something really essential, so I could be and feel my essence. There was something that men had that really helped me during this healing process.
Okay,
and
so
then there were,
I'm thinking of some clients who are in long-term marriages, and they're like, yeah, I really want the masculine to hold that for me, but my husband doesn't know how.
Of course, none of us know how. This is a learned skill. So we're not born knowing how. This is why you would want to come to a class or work with a teacher mm-hmm. or find a coach or mm-hmm. a mentor or someone who has the skill who can teach you and your partner.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to be a professional to be good at this.
Right.
But you have to learn and practice.
You have to learn. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to know how to make it safe
for
yourself and for others. And you got to know where to touch. And you got to be curious. And you got to trust in energy, even though you can't see it.
And stay present throughout the whole process.
Yeah. And learn about presence. And then learn mm-hmm. about the power of words and when to mm-hmm. say something that really, unlocks something really beautiful. So I also discovered that there were some things I needed to work. I need women. I needed the sisterhood to hold my sacred spot and to be there for me and to witness me in my glory and in my devastation and the difference between the touch and the healing that was possible, to heal all the mother-sister wounds and to heal all the father-brother wounds and then to heal all the self wounds.
Right.
And that's what I feel so fortunate to have stumbled upon sacred spot massage and tantra as a philosophy and as a way of life mm-hmm. that ushered me through and completed this journey for me. And although on occasion, it's so rare now, but I would never make the mistake again of saying I'm done. I'm healed, I'm right. good. Because as soon as right. you make that,
no, something else then is going to come through.
Tickles yeah. back up. Yeah, and it's yeah. like, oh, you think so, huh?
Yeah. Totally.
How about a dose of your abandonment issues now?
Yeah, for sure.
And then you get a whammy. But uh-huh. yeah, but mostly it just feels, I feel so much healthier. I feel yeah. like I'm more connected to the truth. And I feel genuinely liberated. And that doesn't mean I'm enlightened. What it means is that I just feel freer. Freer to love, freer in my body, freer to be beautiful mm-hmm. and to not be ashamed of that.
Yeah.
Freer to be, you know, connected and to be fearless around men, to yeah. trust men,
yeah.
and to have forgiven. Like, there's no victim yes. here anymore, and there's right. no perpetrator here anymore.
Right.
I don't feel abused anymore. I use that language only because it helps people understand the story.
Mm-hmm.
But I am no longer the girl who was sexually abused. Uh-huh. I'm no longer the girl that was sexually molested. That is something that happened to me, but is so not who I am.
Right.
And for decades, I thought that's who I was.
Right.
And to be able to shed that identity, because now it's just, it was an incredible teaching that I can now use to serve others.
And tell us about how you do serve others, how you work with people in VIP retreats and individuals.
Yeah. So, I work in three different ways. So I have got retreats where people come in a group and they learn these practices in a group. They may do the practices together or in their separate spaces with a partner where there's privacy. So different ways with which we create the teachings in a group format, but regardless of whether it is a homework assignment you do with your partner or whether it is a group experience where there's an in-class practicum, the mission is always to create healing and awakening, safety, trust, and love. And so those are often, we take people on vacation. Willow and I have got a couples retreat coming up in Thailand in the winter. And then we've got a women's retreat, a goddess retreat, also in Thailand in the winter, where we bring groups together. And then I work one-on-one doing coaching, where I help individuals and couples start to process and learn new tools. Oftentimes, I'm helping them resource the next steps they need to make in order to get closer to who they want to be.
Yeah.
And I do those in various packages and usually over Zoom. They're typically virtual. Mm-hmm. And then I do something that's very special, that is a one-on-one VIP retreat. And that's where I take someone, oftentimes a couple or an individual. I'm starting to consider allowing like 2 to 3 couples come at a time.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a group of people that wants to come together. Mm-hmm. But what's really important to me about these VIP retreats is the individual attention.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is custom created. And this gives me a chance to actually work with my hands and to be the person that is creating the space and helping people learn that the path forward to trust is a door that opens on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And that I can use my body and the mirror neurons that exist between humans to show them the practices, both on their body or for their partner.
Yeah.
And so many times if it's a couple, I'm teaching them in real time how the practices work. And I'm there in the practices with them for as much as they're comfortable with. I don't have sex with people. Although I am a coach that comes into bed with people. So there are limitations, rules, and boundaries that is all agreed upon that works with everyone's safety and comfort zone. But I'm skilled in being able to go right in and show people sacred spot and
Absolutely.
Show the beauty of their body and to hold that kind of space where they can start to peel back the layers that have held them back from feeling deeply emotionally and most importantly, sexually loved.
Mm-hmm.
Because sexual love is a very unique love. It's unlike any other love we can experience on this planet. And if we have blocks that are preventing us from knowing what that is, then we are missing something so beautiful about being a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And there are skills that one can develop to get better and better and better at looking at sexuality as an art form.
It's
as
so
the
beautiful.
Old ancient stacks,
Sex.
As these old ancient mystery schools have written about, it's that, you know, every cultured person should study love as an art form.
Yeah,
and that's something I really believe in and have created my life around.
Yeah, Beautiful. And thank God you did. And thank God you're sharing it with the world. And I'm so grateful to be walking alongside of you and sharing it with you. And so you can find Leah on her own personal website at moreloveworks.com. Yeah. And then, of course, you can find her with me at the Sex Reimagined podcast any old time.
That's right. If you're starting to just resonate with this and you're feeling a calling that this might be a good thing for you to look into and perhaps engage, you know, there's a form on my website, fill it out, and I'm happy to spend 30 minutes with you on a consultation discovery call, and we can find out where you're at and if I'm the right person to start a journey with you. Will and I have also discussed is doing a VIP retreat together. Yeah. Working with a small select group of individuals who will get a lot of one-on-one attention between her and I. So yeah. Think about it. Think yeah. about the think places about, you could go. Acupuncture, oh massages, sacred spot massage, the whole nine yards, diving absolutely. In deep yeah. and getting some profound work done.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much. And Leah, thank you for thanks, shining y'all. Your light and being yeah. such an incredible woman in this world.
You bet. Everybody just heal up your sexual stuff. It is so ready for you. Love, 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 love.
Thanks for tuning in. This episode was hosted by Tantric Sex Master Coach and Positive Psychology Facilitator, Leah Piper, as well as by Chinese and Functional Medicine Doctor and Taoist Sexology Teacher, Dr. Willow Brown. Don't forget, your comments, likes, subscribes, and suggestions matter. Let's realize this new world together.
Awaken Arousal Oil is my new best friend. Like Laura says, holy forking shirt balls, did it deliver on its promise. I could feel the blood flow and warmth, and that was the easiest I've ever achieved multiple orgasms. This is all natural botanical oils. It is made with CBD because CBD helps relax muscles and it eases tension. This stuff smells so good and it mixes with your pheromones like mwah, so good. Get yourself some. Link is in the show notes.